Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my guy Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we are here after a 109-89 Chicago Bulls victory over the Detroit Pistons. It feels good to get back in the win column. Goose, you weren't with me last time because I was having some technical difficulties, but we are back, and you're back for a dub. How are we feeling?
I pulled out the gin and goose for tonight, so I'm starting to feel like I might have to drink on work nights.
No.
when I bring out the gin, we just fucking win. I don't know.
The gin equals a win, huh?
The gin equals a win. Tanqueray does not equal tanking today.
God, that's fantastic. So it seems like you're going to have to become that guy that drinks during the work week just to get the Chicago Bulls a W. So thank you, Bulls. Look what you've done.
Man, yeah, I was on the straight edge for a while. But I guess we're going to have to go back to the dark side until the W's go away.
Yeah, nothing wrong with the dark side. So the Bulls win this one 109-89. And Lauri Markkanen has his best game of the year besides the first game of the year. So we're just going to get right into that. What did you think about Lowry's play tonight, man? Like, I mean, what is this a sign of good things to come? Or, I mean, was this just kind of, you know, he played Detroit and it is what it is?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, personally. I think it's kind of odd that Zach LaVine had such a shit night and we got a W. Maybe there's some correlation there. I don't know. But at the end of the night, Lowry got off to a hot start, had a three-pointer touch the sky and come back down with the kiss of the gods and touched the bottom of the net. And from there on out, we were kind of golden. I don't know. I hope it's a positive trend. Hopefully they continue to get Lowry involved early, and maybe we see positive things.
Right. I mean, it seemed like in the beginning, because Lowry had 7 first quarter points right off the bat. He started off with 7 here off of 3, and all 7 of his points in that first quarter came off of 3 assists from Tomas Satoransky. Lowry hit the 3, I believe the one that you were alluding to, that kissed the sky. He had and 2 dunks in that first quarter. I liked what I saw out of Lowry. He was running the floor. He was trying to get there. He wasn't just trying to force threes. Again, I do feel that, you know, I'd like to get him even more opportunities with the ball, but I'll take the 14 shots, and him shooting 50% from the field tonight is everything that I could have hoped for, honestly. I mean, he needed a big game like this for his confidence, and obviously he helped you know, bring on a dub. I thought that he was going to get a little bit more slack there, Goose, against Blake Griffin, but he does not look right. And I Stacey and Neil alluded to it all game that something was wrong, like not looking right with Blake Griffin. But hey, Lowry capitalized and made Blake Griffin pay, so I'll take it.
See, no, I mean, and I can concur. Blake Griffin was definitely passing out of a lot of shot attempts that he would usually take. But I also felt there was a couple plays where Lowry might have taken a charge from Blake and it went the other way. So, you know, Lowry held his own regardless of whether Blake was 100% or not. I really don't give a shit. We got the W. We won by 20 points. I did lose $5. I guess that might be another trend. I might have to bet against the Bulls to lose.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
No, at halftime, I was sitting there. I was like, 13 points, $5 bet, bring in 30 bucks. Yeah, Bulls like to fuck shit up, so why not?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not disappointed in you, buddy. I probably would have done that, too, but I ended up not, but
hey,
definitely
man,
not mad.
If I have to bet $5 against the Bulls every game and it means a W, bring it on. I'll take the hit every night.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna get into our another big here, man. We're gonna get into another big. We're gonna get into Wendell Carter Jr. outplaying Andre Drummond tonight. And that just feels good to say. Because Andre Drummond, as we know, is a beast on the boards. He usually gives the Bulls fits every time we play him. He was kept in check tonight, finishing with 6 points on 3 of 10 shooting. And he had 6 points, 4 assists, and 14 boards, 12
And he
defensive
fouled
boards.
out.
Yeah, he fouled
It's
out.
he fouled out, not
Yep.
Wendell Carter. How the shit does that happen?
Oh, no shit,
Because there
dude.
was that ticky-tack foul to start the game in the first half that Wendell got, and I was like, oh, shit, here we go.
Oh, you're talking about that foul that was in transition. Yeah, absolutely. In the first
Yeah,
quarter. Yeah, it was absolutely
that
ridiculous.
horrible illegal screen call at the beginning of the game, and I was like, oh, here we go again. Wendell's going to get in foul trouble and it's going to minimize his impact. But, I think Wendell Carter Jr. is going to become a fan favorite rather quickly.
Oh, he's certainly getting there already. He finishes with 12 tonight. One block, one steal, one assist, and 15 rebounds, 5 of which were offensive boards.
In which, at least with the stat they showed tonight, he is in the top four. So, and he's only 10 behind Drummond. That's an interesting kind of, thing that's going on here. We got Wendell Carter Jr. attacking the offensive boards, living right, double-double machine. And personally, maybe it's the homer in me, but I think he brings a lot more to the table in terms of versatility compared to a Drummond type of player.
Oh yeah, I think that Wendell, I mean obviously, Wendell is not as near as I don't think the freakish kind of athlete that Andre Drummond is, but he's still a freak, but he could shoot a little bit, buddy. He could hit the free throws at a decent clip. He can step out and hit 18 footer on a decent, at a decent clip here. Wendell is definitely more versatile than Andre Drummond right now, I'll say it. Absolutely. And I love the fact that we have somebody that can combat him. As Wendell's getting older, and maturing through this league, Drummond's going to have a lot of
Older,
fits.
older. The man can't even buy his own beer yet, and he's taking people down that are all-stars. So
Right.
that's a good sign for Bulls Nation. I don't know. Hop aboard the Wendell Carter train. I know a lot of people wanted Michael Porter Jr. that night. Think we might even have started a chant.
Oh, we were definitely screaming MPJ the whole time. I'm not gonna lie to anybody. I thought that was a good pick. I still think that might be a good pick. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I like Wendell Carter Jr. I'm happy with him. I'm not upset by the pick.
See, I was glad to see Wendell and Lowry share the floor a lot more tonight than I feel we've seen in past games. Maybe that's just me being a little skeptical of Jimbo's rotations, but I do think seeing Lowry and Wendell on the floor together is a good sign. Obviously, the initial idea behind drafting Wendell was to pair Lowry Markkanen with a great duo. That would protect his defensive liabilities. And we saw Lowry attack the defensive end, obviously against a hindered Blake tonight, but I think he was a little more aggressive on that end tonight as well.
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. Let's get into I had a tweet about this guy, Shaq Harrison, getting the start at the three. He comes out, has a team best in the plus minus, plus 29, 15 points, one block, three steals, five assists, 11 rebounds for Shaq Harrison on 7 of 12 shooting.
So wait,
Dude came to play.
you mean back-to-back games? We've now had Daniel Gafford, who was right in the back end of the bench, put up a monster game. And then we have Shaq Harrison, who probably is better fit to play the small forward position. Granted, I wasn't too thrilled about the starting announcement, but you mean Shaq can play both ends of the floor? And he actually hit a three-pointer and maybe, just maybe, should have been playing over Archie to begin with. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either, man, because Archie played. Well, we're going to get into him, too. I know you love him, and I know we have a couple loyal listeners to this show that are definitely huge Archie stands, so we'll get into him in a second. But I'm not going to lie, dude. I still am convinced, like, if you have Shaq Harrison in your starting lineup, you're probably not that great of a basketball team. And it's not a knock on Shaq Harrison. It's not. I don't mean it to be, but we know what the talent level we need is to compete in this league, and that just ain't it, coach. But I will say that maybe it is a turnaround. Maybe he's going to prove me wrong. I mean, the guy did grow like what, 4 inches this year?
No, that ended up coming out to be a farce. I think they mixed him up with Chandler Hutchison during the measuring
I
session.
remember he was 6'2" or 6'3", and then he went to 6'7", remember? Like, so
No,
yeah,
yeah,
you know.
that was beautiful for all of like 2 hours. I was all sorts of excited. Like, what? Shaq Harrison is not a guard. He's potentially a forward.
Fucking ate
Come
some
on,
magic
pal.
beans or some shit, dude. I mean, what the fuck? Yeah.
So no, but either way, Shaq showed out tonight, and it's curious to see how Jimbo does his rotations now that they've been pretty to start the season. But Otto Porter is supposed to be reevaluated in 2 weeks with the bone bruise in his foot, which is kind of irritating. You're making $27 million a year, and you got a bone bruise in your foot that's keeping you out for a month. But
I think
hey,
OPJ was sick of the bullshit. Dude constantly battles injuries, man. I mean, this is something that we knew when he got traded here, that the potential of him, you know, the potential of him staying healthy and playing with our starting lineup within the young core of this team was definitely, it still is. It's definitely something that you would want to see, but guy bet
OPJ's
he
really
battles
killed
injury.
me this season, man.
Dude, yeah, he hasn't looked good, coach. I mean, he's looked pretty fucking shitty,
No,
honestly.
he's had a couple good first quarters where it's like, all right, Otto's ready to play now. He's working through his off-season fatigue. And I just, oh, man.
Well, he better watch his goddamn back, because if Shaq Harrison keeps doing shit like this, then he ain't coming
Shaq for the
back.
max, and Funk called him Shaquille O'Neal at the end of the game.
Oh,
No,
I'm gonna
which was
miss Funk,
funny because
dude.
when he made the three-pointer, I literally tweeted out, "That's an oxymoron, Shaq for three." So no, I mean, hopefully, I don't know what Jim's gonna do. Like, his rotations are so whack to begin with tonight. Obviously we had a big lead, but the starters didn't play that much more than the bench. So Jim's pretty intent on building up the bench, and maybe that proves dividends at the end of the season.
Dude, the
But
highest person with minutes on this team was 33 with Wendell Carter. When you really look at it, it's not that it's not that bad. The load management. He's not
oh
tipping
yeah, we're
motherfuckers
load managing for the playoffs that we might not ever fucking see. Like, come on, man. That's my problem with this point of the season, is I look at the box score and we're losing games, and you have starters that aren't even playing 30 minutes.
Yeah,
And
that
it's,
100%.
I get it. Bench is doing good. Ride them. But don't ride them so long that the starters forget who they are. Like, oh, shit. I know we got the W tonight. I'm reminiscing on the rest of the season. I apologize for getting off track, but Jimbo's rotations kind of scare me. Like, we got a W, and now I don't know what the fuck Jim's gonna do going on from here out. He might just play Shaq 48 minutes. I don't fucking know.
Oh, I liked his grit. I liked his heart.
He plays football. I
He
like
played
that.
football. He runs in there. He gets careless in the paint, and he lowers his shoulder and knocks people over. And that's something that we really like here in the Chicago Bulls organization.
Well, we really like to see guys that just want to kick ass and take names and don't care about fouls.
That was my
Or
Jim Boylan impression. I've been working on it.
nah, I think, and that's funny. Last year we would have had to say spirit about 5 times to quote Jim Boylan, and at this point it's just like everything that comes out of your mouth, man. I
I'm gonna fucking throw a roundhouse kick.
just take a sock and just chew on it. This shit.
That's going in the fucking header for this episode on Twitter.
No,
when we
man,
post
I
it.
feel like a hypocrite. Like, he fooled us going into the training camp and everything. Like, it's all right. Team's buying in. They're all about Jim. His corny ass is not hindering the team. And
see, that's the blindness, though. That's the blindness. And I've dealt with it with the Bears. I've dealt with it with the Sox. I mean, it just happens. It's part of being a Chicago fan. You know, you go to these things, and what was the first thing when we were driving the United Center, and I was telling you about the, you know, when we got to do the Q&A, we got to ask Jim a couple questions when I went with Juice before. And then we got to sit there, get a picture with him and everything like that, and talk and bullshit. Then we go to the open practice, and he's just spewing off like, I believe in this team's energy and spirit, and I believe in this, and we're just sitting there, yeah, energy and spirit.
Jim's on the mic telling us the team's going to play hard, they're going to shoot more threes, and they were shooting more threes. We are shooting more threes, we're just not fucking making them. And I don't know, God, I don't know what to think of this coach.
Got real dark real quick here.
We got a 20-point W, and I'm talking about firing the coach still because it's just fucking ridiculous.
Oh, God. All right, we'll get back on track here. Zach LaVine tonight, 2 for 11, 1 for 3 from downtown. Oh, man. 3 boards, 4 assists, 2 turnovers, 5 points, and he was a plus 11 in the plus minus. Zach obviously struggled offensively tonight. It just seems like we can't get a game where him and Lowry play well together. And it's starting to become a little bit discouraging. But I was glad that he still tried to, you know, use his playmaking ability. He was swinging the ball a lot. Like, I think he did all right doing that. It just, I'm like clamoring for a fucking Lowry Market and Zach LaVine game where they both go off. And unfortunately, we haven't seen it yet, but kudos to Zach for keeping his head up and, you know, in the 28 minutes he did get trying to play effective basketball. I'll give him that.
So, no, and that's the takeaway I take from the night is you look at Zach's stat line and you see his points and you're like, fuck. But at the same time, Zach was moving the ball quite a bit tonight. Didn't stick in his hand too much. We did see Lowry get off. And as much as that's a negative to this point of the season where we haven't seen both of them have a great game at the same time, is that also not somewhat, you know, a little comforting? The fact that we're sucking, obviously, the fact that they're not playing well together sucks. But once they figure out this new offensive equal opportunity system, maybe we get a couple games where they both go off. Maybe
yeah,
we
I've thought that too. I've thought that too, but I mean, I just don't want to hold my breath, you know?
And the other thing that I do want to point out tonight is outside of Chris Dunn guarding Derrick Rose, we did see Zach LaVine kind of take that initiative a couple of times. And I know Zach's defense is the biggest thing. He was a plus 11 tonight with shitty shooting, which is kind of, you know, an anomaly when it comes to Zach LaVine, because if he has a poor offensive night, usually you look at the box score and he's a negative. So I don't know what to make of the correlation. Zach has a bad offensive night. The Bulls win by 20 points. I don't want to turn into Ron here because I am a pretty big Zach advocate. I can't bite the bullet on somebody that is so gifted at everything that comes to basketball being a bad basketball player. And there are nights where, yeah, Zach's decision making might cost the Bulls games. But I do think, regardless of all the negative press that's coming at Zach right about now, that he's got it in the tank. At the end of the day, you don't have a more athletic offensive player or a tougher shot-making player than Zach LaVine around the league. So,
yeah, the only thing like, I see him struggling quite often finishing at the rim this year. And especially tonight, I know that you, I mean, he made a couple million-dollar moves to get to the rim, but just not finishing with layups. He needs to get more polished, and that's all it is. The athleticism's there. The shot, we know for the most part. I know he didn't shoot great tonight, but he's shooting like 36% from downtown on a high volume of shots, you know?
We know, and it's not like he's taking easy threes either. Right. They're like step backs in your face, leaning over the top of me, and that's what's so hard for me to grasp with Zach. Is it's like when he has an easy shot, he chokes.
Right, and even though
when he's got somebody draped on him, he gets nothing but the bottom of the net. So
it's craziness.
I don't know how to read it.
It's all got to be in his mind. But getting into just a couple team stats real quick, the Bulls win, like we said, by 20 points. And even with Zach shooting bad, dude, the Bulls shot 51.9% from downtown and 14 to 27 from downtown tonight. That's huge. That's absolutely huge. If Zach was clicking on all cylinders, it would have been even worse for the Detroit Pistons. That's for damn sure. Then move into this bench. Not going to stay too long on it because we're already 20 minutes into our alternative post-game show here. But your boy, Ryan Arcidiacono, hits a couple big threes tonight. A couple big threes tonight and a nice little layup there. He finishes with 9 and a plus 7 in the plus-minus. Thad Young, want to bring him up real quick. A lot of questionable decisions I've been seeing from Thad Young lately. Not playing like a veteran, playing like a guy who doesn't know what he's doing on a basketball court with the turnovers. But alas, he finishes with a plus 1. 9 points for Thad, 2 boards, 4 for 12 shooting. Wish he can. We got to get him getting going a little bit more off the bench. Our guy, KD. Hard defensive assignment for him guarding Derrick Rose yet again, but he finishes a plus 3, 6 points, 5 assists off the bench for our good friend Chris Dunn. Let's get into our rookies. Before the game even starts, a report comes out from Darnell Mayberry and then followed up by Casey Johnson that Coby White twisted his ankle. I was automatically nervous because in a lost season, as you know, my friend, what do we watch for? We watch for the young talent to see who's going to improve throughout the season. See what they could do. Excited to watch the rookies play. I got very, very nervous. Did not want to lose another key player to the rotation, but thank God Coby White did play. Just twisted his ankle, hampered it a little bit, came out tonight. Had 9 points, all in the first half. I believe, or I'm sorry, he had 12 points. 9 of it coming in the first half. But fun fact, him and Daniel Gafford were the only Bulls players to finish negative in the plus-minus, with Daniel Gafford going minus 1 and Coby White minus 3. But other than that, Coby hit a couple big shots to get us going when Detroit came roaring back. What did you think about the bench in general's game?
See, I felt Coby definitely hit a couple of those shots that kind of stopped the changing of the momentum in the game, which is obviously huge. It saves you from calling unnecessary timeouts, which Jim loves to do. And I know I've been dubbed this Archie hater, and he's shooting 50% from 3-point on the season. But man, if you're sitting in the corner wide open, like you're sitting in the gym by yourself, you gotta hit those motherfuckers. So like that's my thing with Archie. Like, I get it. His plus minus stats are glorious. His assist-to-turnover ratio is glorious. And he plays the right way, and there's no doubt about that. But yeah, when you're sitting in a corner wide open, you better hit the shot. So for me, I'm going to ride the ship to the end. But I'm not on the Arcidiacono boat. I think his greatest talent is being constantly underestimated. And opponents just don't respect him. And in turn, he gets great looks. He gets a lot of space, which allows him to create. He's averaging 2 assists on the season, and in the limited amount of time that he plays, except on nights that Jim feels extra frisky, he is producing. He's coming through. He's
top, dude. He's top 10 in 3-point percentage. After tonight's game, he's probably top 6.
Well, I wish the rest of the league got wide open looks like Archie all night, but
Do you know who's number 1?
Do I want to know? Is it another asinine name that shouldn't be up there at all?
It's Myers Leonard.
Yeah, exactly. you got another half-ass white boy who should not be on the top charts in any category, but apparently fucking marksman.
It's fucking amazing.
No, it's literally it's a product of the disrespect that they get on the floor that they're seeing these shots. And I mean, I'm going to live with it because Archie's producing right now. And I've always said he's a great reserve player, but I don't get the love. Then again, he guarded Giannis, and I felt like he gave Giannis more of a fit than any small forward or power forward we had. So I don't know.
That's because of his spirit and his toughness.
It's his spirit and his grit just emanates
above
the extra 6 inches that he can't reach and just knock shit out of the air. I don't know. I know Archie plays the right way. He's somebody that I do believe is a roster spot, but I just. The stats, the advanced analytics, they kill me.
He's in the MVP running.
He's going to get MIP this year from the G League, Windy City Bulls, to leading the league in three-point percentage because nobody wants to fucking
He's going to be in the fucking three-point contest in Chicago this year, Ryan Arcidiacono, bitch. That's what I'm talking about.
Ryan Arcidiacono taking down Steph Curry. Oh, wait, he's probably not going to shoot. So he's going to take down Seth Curry. Let's fucking go.
Let's go. Oh, that's all I got for tonight's game, my friend. I love the Bulls win. You got anything else to add?
Hey, schedule looks somewhat friendly the next 4 or 5 games. So
here comes the turnaround.
Hey, yeah, shit. I don't know if I want to turn around or I just want Jim gone. But hey, we'll ride through it because we love the Bulls and we love you. Stick with us.
Absolutely. The next game is on Friday at 7 p.m. at the United Center. It's Bulls Heat. That is Friday. Jimmy Butler coming back into Chicago.
Shaq Harrison shutting him down.
All day, dude. All fucking day. Shaq Harrison, I'm telling you what, he shuts down Jimmy Butler. And he outscores Jimmy Butler, I will go get a Shaq Harrison jersey. Got you hear that right here, right now. But thank you all for joining us here tonight. Be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter here at Bulls on Tap, sharing the shit out of this podcast anywhere you can. Following at ontapsportsnet, following me at Buzz on Tap, and follow my dude Goose at Bulls Scripted. We will be back after Friday night's game against the Miami Heat. Let's go, Bulls. Chicago, my city.